today as we come to the table.
And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until. And I have that circled in my Bible, the time of the end, because we are at the time of the end and it's no longer sealed. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly and none of the wicked shall understand. Listen to what he's saying. Those of us who know the Lord, we're going to become more and more holy. We're going to be purified. We're going to be refined by tests and trials. And I believe the church has been refined even through COVID and is still being refined in many ways. He said the righteous are going to be refined. They're going to be purified and they're going to understand more and more and more the closer we get to the end.
Purifying requires heat. It requires firing and melting and refiring and remelting. Over and over, the metal is made more pure the more times it goes through the fire. We are going to be refined too. And like everything else, it takes heat. It takes trials and testing to draw out the impurities and leave us refined. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The heat that refines metal would kill a flower. The same trials that bring a believer closer to God would completely shatter someone whose faith is not in God. Pastor Mark reminds us today that as the last days draw closer, the holy will be refined to be more holy, but the wicked will only become more and more evil. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Sinister means doing things in a very clever, sneaky way that manipulate the masses. He'll be doing things that cause the masses just to go along because he said so. And everyone will agree that it's the right thing to do. Guys, some of that is blowing in the wind already. We're seeing the headwinds of these sinister schemes taking place before our very eyes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. The Bible says his power will be given by Satan himself, and Satan has limited power to distribute. Remember, he offered it to Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus said no. He's going to offer it to this guy, and this guy's going to say, you've got a deal. He shall destroy fearfully, and he shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper. Again, how many of you see that already blowing in the wind around the world? Deceit is prospering today. And he'll do it under his rule. It's going to get worse. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. And he shall even rise against the prince of princes. Again, there it is, trying to take the place of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. But he shall be broken without human means. The Bible says when Jesus comes back at the second coming, he's simply going to speak the word and the Antichrist is going to be wiped out and defeated. And then he'll be grabbed and thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the vision is talking about. And the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told is true. Again, the prophet verifying it's from God. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And again, I believe that's the days we're living in today. And that brings us to chapter 12. Turn to your right to chapter 12 of Daniel, because now we're going to see the very end, the final 3.5 years again, the return of Jesus Christ, what God tells Daniel about understanding of us and prophecy in the last days. And in chapter 12, again, Daniel's in the middle of this vision he's getting from an angel, an explanation from an angel. We don't have time to cover all of it. But starting in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, at that time, this is the very end, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Who are your people? The Jews. He's speaking to Daniel. And remember, there's going to be many Jews that are saved during the Great Tribulation, as well as other Gentiles. But he's specifically saying Michael is going to protect the Jews. Why? We see in Scripture that Michael is the protector of the nation of Israel. And Michael is no angel to be messed with. He's an archangel. He has great power. He's the one that Gabriel calls on to help break through when he's going to Daniel. And Daniel's praying earlier and being blocked by the demonic realm. Again, remember when Sennacherib came against Hezekiah in Jerusalem, it says 185,000 Syrian soldiers were there on the Mount of Olives. And that night, one angel went out and killed all 185,000. Since Michael is the protector of Israel, I bet that was Michael. This is one bad dude. You don't want to mess with Michael. And so Michael shows up. When Michael stands up and shows up, I'm sure the demonic realm went, oh my goodness, it's Michael. And everybody else in the spiritual realm is going, yes, it's Michael. Again, I can't wait to see Michael. He's going to be awesome. He says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation. This the Bible describes in other places as the time of Jacob's trouble. It says it'll be the worst time in world history for the Jews. Now think about all the Jews have been through. Even just speaking recently of what Hitler did, killing 6 million of them, he's saying that's nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to do to the Jews. When we go to Israel, and I've shared this with you before, I don't see them as often now, but I still see them sometimes, these old bumper stickers that say never again. And those were printed up to say we'll never again be dominated and brutalized like Hitler did to us in World War II. And it breaks my heart because I realize when I read that, yes, you will. And it's going to be a lot worse than Hitler ever was. It'll be the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time for your people and a time of trouble for the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is when Michael shows up to rescue them as the Lord ultimately is their rescuer during this time of trouble. Not since they've been a nation has it been this bad, even to that time, the worst ever, not only for them, but world history, the Bible tells us. And at that time, your people, that is the Jews, shall be delivered. God's going to come and rescue them, those that have been saved. That is everyone who is found written in the book. That is those in the book of life of the Jews who get saved after the rapture. Michael's going to come and fight for them, and the Lord's going to come rescue them at the very end. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Here's the bottom line. He's saying, look, if you're sharing Jesus with people and they're getting saved, you're going to get brighter and brighter and brighter in your reward, and you're going to shine like the stars in heaven. Is that amazing or what? Listen, I'm not a gamer. Maybe some of you are. But when you're doing those games, you come across those things or whatever, and you get brighter, you know, and you gain more points or something. Every time you lead someone to Christ, I mean, it was whatever. And you're like, you're brighter, and you're going to be shining forever. He says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Notice this, until the time of the end. Guess what we're living in? The time of the end. It's no longer sealed. He said, seal it until the time of the end. God is now revealing what's happening. God is showing us what's happening. Listen to what Daniel says, or the angel says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Again, to and fro, planes traveling all over the world, a technology that Daniel couldn't even imagine. But notice this also, he says, and knowledge shall increase. I believe it's talking about Bible knowledge, but I think it's also talking about what we're seeing happening in the tech world today. Guys, listen, it's amazing what's happening technologically. It's expanding so rapidly, we can't keep up with it. Maybe you saw what Facebook is doing now, changing their name to Meta, and they're going to have what they call the metaverse, where you put these special glasses on, and you're going to be able to see holograms of each other. You know, rather than when you do a business call or when you get on your computer, that you put those glasses on, they'll literally be right there in the room. You'll be talking to their emoji or whatever. I think they're calling it an avatar or whatever. But you're going to be talking to that image of that person. And the technology is there to do this. Again, this is going to be interesting in just a second when we read again in Revelation 13 that the image will have breath and speak from the Temple Mount of the Antichrist. Can you imagine? When he takes over the world, he can be anywhere on the planet and from the Temple Mount, blaspheming God, pretending he's the ruler from there, he can give the world a message. He can give his mandates, his dictates, his whatever he's doing. As a matter of fact, if he wants everyone put their glasses on, he'll show up in your living room. That's pretty creepy. And yet the technology is in place. Again, I'm not saying these guys that are developing this technology are the Antichrist or anything like that. Don't take me wrong. I'm saying the technology is in place for this Antichrist when he shows up on the scene. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on that riverbank. These are two angels. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these things be? That is, once this process begins, how long will it be? Again, we know it's 3.5 years, but he's going to tell Daniel. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, he swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Again, the Bible's code for 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things will be finished. Although I heard it, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until. And I have that circled in my Bible, the time of the end, because we are at the time of the end and it's no longer sealed. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Listen to what he's saying. Those of us who know the Lord, we're going to become more and more holy. We're going to be purified. We're going to be refined by tests and trials. And I believe the church has been refined even through COVID and is still being refined in many ways. He said the righteous are going to be refined. They're going to be purified, and they're going to understand more and more and more the closer we get to the end. I'm going to reveal more to them prophetically, and I'm going to show them more. He says, but the unsaved, the wicked, they're going to become blinder and blinder and blinder. They're going to know less and less. They have no clue what's going on. Have you noticed that the world around us has no clue what's happening in our world today in light of Scripture? It's amazing to me that God could speak about this for thousands of years. It could be taught in churches in America for hundreds of years. It could be just so easy to find on the internet, on the web, all these things about heading toward a one world government, a one world order, where something will happen where no one can do anything. They cannot buy and sell without this mark. When now we're talking about the vaccine mandate, without that vaccine card, you can't buy or sell in New York. And now they're doing it in LA. It's happening around the world. That is not the mark. But what's interesting is that you can't recognize the headwinds of the storm coming, that what God said was going to happen is now developing. It's now forming. And yet when you share it with them, they look at you like you're a nut. Why? They can't see it. They're blind. Listen, you sit in a very privileged position today. God has chosen you to be a part of his kingdom. And God has preserved you a place in his kingdom. And God in the last days, through the prophet Daniel and others, is revealing to you what's going to happen. And he's going to be showing you more and more and more. And the world's going to look at you more and more. They're going to look weirder. It's going to be like that dog hearing that sound with the head going sideways. You really think some guy's going to take the world over? You really think we're all going to? I don't think it. God has declared it. And Daniel said, the vision is sure. And it's true. It's going to happen. It is happening. It's interesting. I think about Noah building the ark. Can you imagine the mockery he got for 120 years that had never rained, most theologians believe? And he's building it in the middle of the desert. And he's going, yeah, it's going to rain, all right. Yeah, no, it's going to rain. This is a good one. Just what a fool you are. You can't believe this guy. He's a religious nut. He believes all this stuff that his God told him and all this stuff, whatever. Can you imagine when the doors of the ark closed and that first raindrop fell? You see, it's only a conspiracy until it began to rain. And once it began to rain, it was no longer a conspiracy. It was no longer some crazy thing that's out there. Listen, this is the Bible. This is the word of God. It will happen. If the Lord has been 100% accurate up to this point, how could we begin to think he's not going to finish 100% accurate? We can rest in it. And so, again, he tells him, you'll get it. The world won't. And from that time, the day of the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. That is this statue that he's going to set up, this image on the Temple Mount. There shall be 1,290 days. Now, again, what that means is that 3.5 years is really 1,260 days. Well, this is 1,290. What that means is he's going to set the image up 30 days before he reveals he's God or that he says he's God. Now, why? We don't know. Maybe there'll be an unveiling. We don't know of this image. But he says, however, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. This actually goes 45 days beyond the second coming. And you can do all your math later, but this goes 45 days beyond the second coming. What is this? We don't know for sure, but he says, blessed are those who come to the end of it. This is probably the sheep and goats judgment. When the Lord comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. There'll probably be 45 days of judgment, and those who make it through that judgment are those that are saved. They'll enter the kingdom of God, and that's why they are blessed. Again, God only knows. We may get more information later on. Verse 13, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and you shall arise to your inheritance at the end of days. All right, let's turn now lastly to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to finish with this. Revelation 13, just going to read through it quickly and point some things out because this is so prevalent to where we are. And now that we have Daniel's understanding, this will help bring Revelation 13 alive all the more. Although I know we just went through Revelation recently, this should be fresh in your mind. But for those who didn't, you now will have a better understanding. He now talks about this false trinity. God has the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Antichrist trying to be like God, rather Satan trying to be like God. He has an unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. We'll see all three in chapter 13. Notice verse 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea. This is John having his vision. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now you know what he's talking about. The 10 horns are the 10 kingdoms that will be over the earth. The 7 heads are the remaining 7 leaders after the Antichrist pulled 3 of them down. You see, Daniel and John are seeing the same thing because they went to the same place. God called them up and gave them a vision of heaven. They're simply watching the same thing and writing it at different times. And on the horns were 10 crowns, showing the 10 kingdoms will be ruling. And on the heads, a blasphemous name. And the beast I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Now, we didn't cover the other 3 kingdoms, but these are all symbolic of the other 3 kingdoms that aren't the revived Roman Empire. What he's saying is all of these former kingdoms will be a part of the final Roman Empire as well. It'll all be kind of mixed together into one great kingdom that'll mixture all the kingdoms together. The dragon, which we know is Satan, gave the Antichrist his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, this is amazing, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Guys, get this. If you're going to try to take the place of Christ, you've got to do what Christ did. He's going to pretend to die and resurrect. And that's what this is saying. Notice it says he has as if mortally wounded, which means he's not mortally wounded because Satan can't create life. But it will appear that the Antichrist is dead and will rise from the dead. And when he stands there, I believe it'll happen right before he stands up to say that he's God. I think he'll use this as a springboard to say, even as Jesus rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. I'm the Savior of the world. I stand equal to Jesus and equal with God. You will bow down to me. Now there's 2 of us. And yet he wants to be the single one. Now, again, this is interesting because we see when Jesus came, he was rejected by the nation of Israel. Remember, Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But Jesus said, there's going to come one after me. Him you will receive. And that is the Antichrist. They're going to believe the Antichrist is their Messiah when he comes until they realize he's an imposter. And it actually talks about the betrayal of Jesus and how the Antichrist is going to be wounded and what will happen. I want to give you some more details. Notice what it says in Zechariah chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 13 to 17. It says, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. Remember, this is talking about Judas. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Remember, Judas came back and threw the money because he had betrayed the Lord, didn't want it. Then I cut into my other staff bonds that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel, showing the tensions between the 2 sections of Israel. And the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the implements of a foolish shepherd. Now we're talking about the Antichrist. They rejected the true Christ. Now the Antichrist they'll receive. For indeed, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand. He's not going to care about the people at all. It's all about him. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. That is, he's going to wipe everybody out in his wickedness. Notice this. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. He has no care for the people of Israel. Look at this. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. So it will appear, whether it's an assassination attempt, whether it's an accident, whatever happens, he's going to go blind in his right eye, he's going to wither in his right arm, but he's going to appear to resurrect from the dead just like Jesus did. Again, as if it had been mortally wounded and his deadly wound was healed. And notice this, all the world marveled. Can you imagine watching a resurrection? You'd marvel as well. And they follow the beast. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. That is, they're worshiping Satan through the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? I mean, this man's rising from the dead. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. There he goes with his mouth again. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Daniel said it time, times, and half a time. John says 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He'll be blaspheming God and those of us that are celebrating in heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Again, I take note, the church will not be overcome, but this group of saints will be. That's why we have to be gone. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life or of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. He's basically saying, stick in there. You're going to have to go through the tribulation if you miss the rapture. But if you stick it out, you'll be saved in the end. Look at this. Then I saw another beast. Here's now the false prophet. Coming up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He's going to be a spiritual leader, but he's going to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. He'll be leading the wrong spirit, a demonic spirit. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, he resurrected, worship him. He performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. So this false prophet will call down lightning from heaven. No doubt the Antichrist can as well. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do inside of the beast. So he has this supernatural power. This must be a man of God. No, it's a lie. It's a false power. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Is it a hologram? I don't know. We'll see. I think there's a real image there as well. So we'll have to see from heaven what it's going to be, because we'll be having the wedding supper of the Lamb when it's revealed. But notice, if you don't take the mark, you'll be put to death. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the image of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, we don't know exactly what that's going to play out. Of course, in the horror movies, they use it for whatever. But we do know that somehow after the rapture, this guy will be identifiable by this number. Many believe it's an assigned numerical name from the Hebrew language or whatever the case might be. Only time will tell. But here's the bottom line. The Bible says after all of this, there'll be a final kingdom. And the final kingdom is Jesus Christ coming to rule and reign. We see in Daniel chapter 2, the rock without hands, falling, striking the image, wiping out every other kingdom, filling the entire earth with this rule and reign, where Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. You and I will rule and reign with him. The question is, are you going to be a part of that kingdom? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to be a part of that kingdom. And by the way, if the tribulation is as close as I believe it is, you'll be going through what we read today. You don't want to do that. Now, again, I don't know how close it is. Only God knows. But I know this, you don't want to be a part of that. And even if you miss that, there's still the judgment of God waiting. The kingdom is before you. For those of us who know the Lord, we rejoice that we're going to be taken out of here. We're going to be rescued. And God's going to get us out of here in the right time. But for those of you who don't know the Lord, you've never given your life to the Lord, you've never confessed your sins, you've never repented, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you don't know the Lord, it's as simple as this. Confess to him you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to wash you clean of your sins. Ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Tell him you believe that he died for your sins on the cross by his blood. And if you do that, you'll be a part of this glorious kingdom, watching this and not going through it. He invites you. Don't turn him down.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.